There has to be more to work than just a paycheck. My name is Clément Frisoni, and I am passionate about how companies manage their human capital. This is Cambodia Workwise. Each episode, I will bring you insights from the Cambodian world of work with CEOs, HR managers, human capital deciders, and people who think there is more to work than just the 9-to-5 traditional work. In this show, we will talk about HR, recruitment, and the broader Cambodian world of work. This is Cambodia Workwise. So if I ask you to close your eyes and think about a leader, are you thinking of a man or of a woman? That's right. This is maybe because you have bias. They're unconscious, it's not your fault, but you have to be aware of them. This is the topic of today's discussion. My guest is Kim Tan. She's an entrepreneur and she's chairing the Women's Committee of the American Chamber of Commerce in Cambodia. Together, we discuss why aren't there more women leading in Cambodia? What can we do to get more of them to leadership positions? And why this is important? I hope we'll help you understand the importance of our bias and the things we can do collectively to get a more equal workplace. Enjoy our discussion. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate that you took the time to come and discuss with us about women in Cambodia. Maybe our listeners don't know you. Could you give us an introduction about who you are and what you do here in Cambodia?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me here. My name is Kim. I am Cambodian-American. I grew up in the States, returned to Cambodia about 5 years ago. I came here because there was an opportunity to manage an international company, microinsurance, in Cambodia at that time. Because we have made the decision, my family and I, that we would stay here in Cambodia permanently, I then have to start thinking, do I want to work for other companies or do I want to start my own business? If I want to start my own business, what would I do? And so this is where I'm kind of discovering along the way. I realized there's quite of a gap in terms of skill set in Cambodia because, one, we're a very young population. A lot of large international companies tend to bring in expats for the higher role in key role positions in organizations. So I wanted to help Cambodian upskill and reskill, particularly in middle management or professionals that already have some work experience. How do they take themselves to the next level? So hence, I opened a consulting firm, consulting on the human resources side of the business, talent development, skills development, things like that. Also, part of that work really drive me to want to support women in leadership. Because as we see across multiple industries, there's a lot of women in the workforce. You know, in some industry, you see more than half of women are employed as staff, but the higher up you go, the less female you see in leadership position.
How did you see Cambodia before coming back here?
There was a couple perspective for me. Even after my first visit in 2006, going back to the States after that visit, I still did not have any desire to come back and live in Cambodia. It was more of just a trip coming back home and see what life was like. It was just too different of how I was growing up in the States versus what was happening in Cambodia back then. After I got married, we were able to come back and visit a few times before we made the move. And I think what really kind of set in motion for us was the fact that we were seeing the development in Cambodia. And so we saw Cambodia as a country that was progressing, and it was progressing quite quickly. Having lived here now for 5 years, I knew that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. My work in the States has been very fast-paced. I recognize that I'm also very American in the way I behave, in the way I think.
What was a big culture shock that you lived when coming here?
So there's a few things that I will share with you, kind of open up my eyes. We have close to 300 staff at that time. I can't remember what we were doing at that point. We were going through, I think, ages, because a lot of the staff that we employed are right out of university. And then every day we almost had like a birthday for somebody because we had so many staff. And then I realized that I was the oldest. Like, we had 286 staff or something like that. I was the oldest in that company. Uh-huh. And that never happened in this day. And then I recognized that I was speaking very loud compared to everybody else, where they're like soft-spoken.
Right.
And then I started talking about development of staff. And so I was really pumped up about wanting to develop like women leaders, you know, in the company, promote them. And as I was speaking to a room full of staff, especially the female staff, about that idea, it just kind of went over their head. I think they're very, very young, so there's a lack of experience in the workplace. The idea of developing themselves to be able to have a career path was new. Mm-hmm. It was more about just having the job. Also, having a job that was stable. Most of them do come from the province. Mm-hmm. I think the priority is different. Mm-hmm.
This is an idea I've observed a few times in Cambodia already. I worked with NGOs focusing on education here. When you ask young Cambodians, you know, teenagers or early 20s, what do you want to do in the future? What kind of job you want? And they say, oh, I want to work in an office, or I want to be working with somewhere with AC. And you don't have, as you mentioned, that sense of career. Do you think that's the reason why we see less women in leadership positions here in Cambodia? Is it one of the factors, or is there something bigger than that?
If we talk about why we don't see too many women in leadership role in Cambodia, what contribute to that is the lack of role model, mm-hmm. meaning the lack of women in leadership roles, whether it's private organization or in the public sector. If you don't see someone that you can relate to as yourself, mm-hmm. it's very difficult for you to envision mm-hmm. yourself being in that role. Mm-hmm. Hence, the desire to be in that role either diminished mm-hmm. or non-existent, because we don't see it, right? So it's not possible, because everywhere I look, it's all male. That, for me, that's a key factor. And very few who does is driven by examples from elsewhere, not in Cambodia, mm-hmm. right? So like myself and me and other women coming back from other country, or they have gone out to study, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So only then when they've been exposed to having and seeing female in certain role, very key roles in organization and in the public sector, do we then say, ah, if this is what I want, I can also do it as well?
Mm-hmm. You know, if I am the HR manager or the CEO of a company and I want to contribute to this, you know, I want to help have more women in leadership positions in Cambodia, what actions can I take? So are there things I can say or things I can do that will make women feel more confident applying or having a desire to fit in those positions?
I think if you're in the HR position or in key position in your organization, I would look at the staff as individual, not gender, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. not divided, separated by gender. Mm-hmm. What is the composition of the staff first? Like the total, mm-hmm. how many female, how many males, right? Understanding why those roles are more prone to women taking it or less. So for example, the company that I work for, the majority of our staff are in the call center. Mm-hmm. And what I found out is that women find the comfort in mm-hmm. taking on that role and enjoyed speaking to clients over the phone. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have a position open for a key role in your organization, what you could do is start to encourage female to apply for this key role. But even before that, it's also important for you to prepare for them to move into that key role. Mm-hmm. Because the difference between men and women is that man will think that they can do it.
Yeah.
Right? So what if I don't have A to Z?
Yeah.
Right? But if I have A to D, I will apply. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not the woman.
Yeah.
So we should look at their performance. And if they're one of those that you know that would have the capability and would be willing to transition up, mm-hmm. how do we give them that confidence, you know, that readiness mm-hmm. that when the position is available
that
they'll want the applicant to apply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So encouraging is good, but until they feel that they're ready, they're not going to apply.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you start working with them more on a confidence building, right? And I will tell you, women will, we will start listing all of our weakness. What areas do we need to improve? We will start listing them for you. So this is also for you to be able to have the opportunity to support them in that way. So that's something that you could do in the meantime to just kind of build up the leadership pipeline.
I think it's really important to be aware of this. And I advise all our female listeners to listen carefully, because I was coaching a client this morning and she was telling me, oh, I did not apply for this position because I don't tick all the boxes, you know? And I think there is that statistic that says if men have 50% of the required items, they will apply. They will think, I can do this. While women will wait to have, I think, 80 or 90%.
80%.
And so it's okay. You, if you don't tick all the boxes, just go ahead, try. Worst case scenario, people will say no, and it's costing you a lot not to try.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to bear in mind, as you rightfully said. Do women always need to be pushed for these positions? Should we always encourage women to apply for leadership positions?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that should be systematic?
Mm.
What's your take on this?
Mm. For me, I feel that the quota is like the first step to bridging the gap on gender disparity. Because if we don't set a quota, then we continue to have this off balance from male to female,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's on the board or whether it's in key positions in organizations. So by setting a quota, you are now letting the woman know that, hey, there's positions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
Mm-hmm.
That for me is a silent encourager,
mm-hmm.
right? That is passed through the whole organization. So they know that there's a possibility that they will get that role
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as a woman. That's the initial step. Some may say, well, what if we get one that's not qualified and then the male happened to qualify? I said, well, that's very biased. Because now you're saying that the female who have enough courage to apply knows that she's not qualified and she applied, but the male will always be qualified and that's why he's always applying. That's an assumption. And that's a bias that we don't even know that we have. Once an organization is able to maintain that ratio, I think eventually women, again, it goes back to them being able to see female in this role, right?
Mm-hmm.
That itself will inspire other women. So it's not always something that you always have to encourage going forward. But setting the quota is an encourager as a first step for companies and organizations to at least start at that.
Mm-hmm.
And allow those women to be the role model for other women in organization. Really, it's a win-win situation. There's been multiple studies to show that when you have women sitting in key positions, the company also changes as well in term of profitability, in term of the dynamic strategy, because it's a different perspective, right? We bring to the table different perspective than men. There's no right or wrong. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one more thing regarding the network building and the reskilling of women in Cambodia. When you work on building a network and helping women meet other professionals, what are the skills that you see them lack or that they need to improve to be able to reach that level in terms of being confident in networking?
So when I first started on the board with the American Chamber, we hold events, you know, that's what we do as a chamber most of the time. I can see the progress in terms of gender by the numbers of females showing up for networking. Again, it goes to show that when women see other women able to do certain things, then they feel they could also do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So that means coming out to network, coming out to talk to other people and building your own network, whether it's for your professional career advancement or whether it's to help out your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then also attending events that speak to what's important to them, the challenges that women face in the workplace. We've had topics talking about that. And how does companies' policies or can implement policies to support women in the workplace? We've had topics regarding to that. how can women balance between at the workplace or whether in their business with their personal life. We also talk about that. Mm-hmm. Because as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter, and I list all of that, and as an employee or a business owner, right? I list all of that because each one of those role becomes a priority for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we have multiple priorities that we're juggling. You know, we don't just wake up and go to work, right? So there's a lot of priorities that we are juggling, and it's every day, all the time. So to be able to share the experiences with other women, having other women be able to relate and say, yes, I go through the same thing, you know, oh, this is how you deal with it, you know, oh, this is how you maneuver this journey, being all of that and still maintain your health, you know, and your well-being. It's very important. It's very important for us to share. And we've been able to do that through the Women's Stern Committee. So that is something that I'm very, very proud of, that we are bringing these topics into the surface.
I'm an outsider here. I'm a man. How can I be part of this conversation? Because I don't want to make women feel like they should discuss it, but in their corner without us men. I feel personally that it's a tricky path. How can I position myself in a respectful yet helpful manner towards this discussion?
That's a very good question, because this is something we have yet to gain support. Are for more male to join us in our events. How can men play a role in supporting the woman is to join us. It's not, oh, it's a woman's event, let her go.
Yeah.
But come as much as you can, because the discussion that we're having is very also relevant to you, whether you're a husband, so in the household, whether you're in the workplace as a manager, for example, right? Or as a colleague. These discussions are relevant because we all need to be able to work together. And if you don't understand what we need, what are the challenges, how can you help us? How can we overcome that together? Although we said it's an event by the American Chamber, Women's Steering Committee, it's never just solely women that can attend. But that's what we have been seeing so far. 99% are female, which is great. I think that's a good indication that women are interested. This is what they find is supportive to them. But ultimately, we would like the men to come and really participate with us. Participate in a way where we also hear your feedback, right? For a good example, we tend to juggle a lot of things at one time. Not to say men can't do it, but by nature, men just want to do one thing at a time, right? So very different. And so perhaps if we can understand that either you just not going to do multiple things at once and you just want to focus on that thing and we need to respect that, then okay, right? So we also need to understand that as well. There's a give and take in any relationship, and that's work relationship, household relationship, partner relationship, is to really clearly understand how we are wired differently. And just that understanding could help us get along better. Help us to understand where we need to step in for support. And that support could just mean A, B, C, and D, you do these things. Let me take A and B off the plate for you.
I'd like to ask you one question that I ask to all my guests to wrap up interviews. What do you wish for the future of Cambodia?
For Cambodia to have a larger pool of talent and skilled workers that are competitive to the region and globally. So any time that a company needs a certain talent, that Cambodia is on their radar for talent to recruit. Not just on the lower labor type of work and then bringing in other from neighboring countries or across the world to come and sit in the key decision-making roles in organization. The other one is for women and more of them to have a seat at the table where decisions are being made.
Kim, if you have convinced more men to join your events, where can people follow you or find you online? Are you on social media or...?
I am on social media. Now I find that it's okay to be connected on Facebook beyond than my personal space. So Facebook is okay. Also on LinkedIn, any of those two channels, you can reach out to me. Also on the American Chamber, we always post all the events that we hold. We would love to have more engagement from the men's side, in particularly to the events that the Women's Steering Committee hold.
Okay. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And thank you so much for your time today, Kim. And see you soon, I hope.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this discussion until the very end. I hope this helped you to understand the importance of reaching an equal workplace and how we can get there. We all have a part to play in this, whether we are men or women. Thank you for listening and see you next time for another episode of Cambodia Workwise.